Well, good morning and welcome to Trinity Sunday. This is one of those few times in the church year where the celebration is in fact a doctrine of the church. And it's an extremely important doctrine of the church, and we learn several things from the doctrine of the Trinity. The first thing we learn from the doctrine of the Trinity, and we mentioned this last Sunday, is that God is love. Because for God to be love, there is the necessity of there to be a lover and a beloved and the spirit of love that binds them together. So God, who is eternal and is all-sufficient, of necessity would need to be love and to be a trinity of the lover and the beloved and the spirit of love, the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we learn in the doctrine of the Trinity is that God is eternally love. And as love, desiring to pour his love into creatures, he created the universe, and especially us, those who are made in the image of God, so that he can pour his love into us. And we, in turn, can return our love to him. With that beautiful reading from Proverbs, that from the very beginning, God created all things that we might enjoy them in the presence of God, that we might enjoy them in the love of God. So that's the first thing we learn from the doctrine of the Trinity, is that God is love. And the second thing we learn from the doctrine of the Trinity is that Jesus is himself God. Now, this is extremely important, and it's very clear from the reading of the scriptures, the gospels and the epistles, that indeed the early Christians, the apostles, and all of the early church understood that Jesus was fully God. Consider the prologue to the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We see it described as wisdom in Proverbs. We see it described as logos in John. But God is present in the beginning, and Jesus is God, the logos, who is there from the beginning to create all things. And even in the epistles of Paul, we read in Colossians that in Christ the fullness of the Godhead lived in bodily form. That Jesus is fully God. And now the Hebrew people who formed the original church, they understood this very clearly. They understood that there was one God. And for Jesus, who is God's Son, he is also God the Son. And he is fully divine. He is fully God. And they expressed that very clearly in the New Testament. However, as Christianity began to spread into the Greek world, well, some confusion began to arise. Because in the Greek context, to be the Son of God, while special, was not particularly unique. Because they had lots of gods, and their gods were always getting mixed up with humans, right? And so you have Hercules, who is a son of God, and you have Achilles, who is a son of God, and you have many of whom they would call the demigods, those who were born from one of their pantheon, a polytheistic god, one of their gods, and a human. And in that union would form a demigod, a son of God. So the church had to clarify that confusion, because from that confusion, many heresies arose to try to somehow rob Christ of his full divinity, to make him something less than fully God. And so the fathers of the church, particularly at the Council of Nicaea, defined what the Trinity was, defined the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have that formula even from the words of Jesus when he tells the disciples to go out and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But to define exactly what that meant took the Council of Nicaea. And so they gave us a creed, a beautiful creed, that to this day, 1700 years later, to this day, we still recite that creed every single Sunday, where it defines the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all who are three persons, but in unity of one God, and Jesus, who is consubstantial with the Father. Boy, that is a mouthful. Have you ever had someone say, consubstantial? I thought we believed in transubstantiation. But actually, that is a Greek term. It's something that we don't necessarily relate to. But in Greek philosophy, remember Plato had his concept of the divine forms, that everything that existed had some equal divine essence, that there was a pure essence of all things. Aristotle changed that to the substance, that the essence of all things was its substance. And so when we say that Jesus and the Father, the Son and the Father are consubstantial, we're saying they are the same essence. Their godness is the same. They are the same God, and they are fully God because they share one substance. They share one essence. And so we use this fancy term, consubstantial, which can be confusing, but now you know what it means. So the second thing we learn from the Trinity is that Jesus is fully God. And the third thing we learn from the Trinity is that God is always with us. Because in the definition of the Trinity, that love that binds the Father and Son together is not just an expression of the Father and of the Son. The love of God is His own person. The love of God is fully God in His own uniqueness, in His own persons, in His own essence. And so we who live in the love of God, and we always live in the love of God, there is never one moment in our lives that God's love is not pouring out into us, that God's love does not permeate every single corpuscle of our being. God's love permeates us from our head to our feet. And so God is always with us because His love permeates us. As St. Paul wrote in that second reading, that the love of God is poured into our hearts. Therefore, we always have hope. Now, sometimes in life, we may get disappointed. Sometimes in life, we may feel lonely or alone. Sometimes in life we may feel afraid. But there, in the presence of God, there is never a need to be alone. We are never alone because God is always with us. And there is never a need to be dismayed or afraid, to fear anything, because God's authority, the full authority of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, resides within us. The God who created all things, who set the universe into motion, loves us and is with us, and His authority as well governs and controls our lives. Think of Jesus standing before Pilate. And Pilate says to Jesus, I have the authority to crucify you or to let you go. And Jesus says, only because my daddy lets you. No fear. Because whatever happens, whatever he has to face, even if he has to face the cross, Jesus knows that God's authority surrounds him and fills him with confidence. Because even though there is in this life often pain and turmoil, God's authority is always in control. And we know that as we walk through whatever pain or turmoil or disappointment we walk through, that God is there with us, and that in the end there is resurrection. In the end there is glory as we walk with the God who is there, who is with us, who permeates us, and who fills us with his love. Now, we all understand that life is a journey, don't we? Life is a journey. It has its ups and its downs, its rights and its lefts, and sometimes we're not sure exactly which way to go. But the greatest journey that man undertakes is his search for significance. We spend all of our lives searching for some way to feel that we matter, that we are significant. And too often, we try to find our significance by comparing ourselves to others. I am significant because I am stronger than you are. I am significant because I'm richer than you are. I am significant because I'm smarter than you are. Or I am significant because I'm prettier than you are. We try to find our significance in comparing ourselves to others. And every time we do that, the end is despair. Because someone always comes along who is richer or smarter or prettier than we are. But our true significance lies in one fact and one fact alone. We are infinitely significant because we are infinitely loved. We are infinitely loved by God who created the universe. His love is poured into our hearts that gives us hope, and it makes us significant. So we never have to compare ourselves to others. Yes, there are people who are smarter and wealthier and thinner than we are. But we are infinitely significant because we are infinitely loved. And it's that love of God, the love of the divine, holy Trinity itself, in which the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit weave together in this beautiful dance of love for all eternity and have brought us in so that our very existence is in God and his very existence is in us. Our lives are made pure. Our lives are matter. Our lives have purpose because God is love, and his love is poured into us.